It's Wednesday, August 20th, 2008, and you're listening to episode 112 of You're the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 55 minutes.
Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name is Chad.
My name is Chris.
And we want to welcome you guys to our very first live studio audience recording of this show. So, here at Gen Con 2008, which Chris is still blogging, you can find that. It's what, GM's Notebook?
GM'sNotebook.blogspot.com.
Okay, and we will link that off the show notes. And for those of you here in the audience, we are going to drop this as episode 112 this coming Tuesday night / Wednesday morning, depending on how you tell time.
I talked to Chewbacca yesterday.
The guy that plays Chewbacca, not guy does the voice.
The guy who plays Chewbacca, yes. That
would have been more interesting.
Well, I wouldn't have understood a word he said. See, it would have been nothing but that.
And strangely sexual. Now, you said the guy was...
There's nothing strange about that. I don't know what you're talking about. He's furry.
Don't judge me.
Now, when you met him, he actually was not real interested in the interview?
Well, he wasn't... When I went up there, I came up and I said, you know, you have a few minutes, I'd like to talk to you. If you don't mind, show him the whole press pass deal. And he kind of looked at me like... and then he debated it internally about a good 2-3 minutes about it, and then, you know, finally he acquiesced. Once I reminded him that I showed him the card that was from Fear the Boot, and he was like, okay,
yeah,
I can do that.
You're not just some random...
No. He realized my C-list celebrity status. He was all about that. C was for Chewbacca, exactly.
So, are you guys having fun here at Gen Con?
All right, now, Chad, this is your first Gen Con,
my first that I don't do just a drive-through.
Not counting the long-distance trip to Smoky Bones that we did 2 years ago. So.
Excellent donuts at that point, but that's about it. I'm having a great time. I'm absolutely loving it. Mainly, I'm hitting up the board game library and playing up pick-up board games, which I just absolutely love board games. And I've been having a lot of fun drinking, going out, hanging out with people, talking to people who listen to the show and who are fans, some of whom I know through the forums and email and stuff, and then just talking to complete random strangers who have never heard of Fear the Boot before. It's just a great crowd, great people, awesome. I'm definitely coming back next year. I love this place.
Two things I definitely want to do differently next year, actually three. One is I want to bring a more compact setup because lugging around 75 pounds of podcasting gear, we just gave up. I mean, this is not our setup. So for those of you at home, if this sounds a little different, we're just using the mics and mixer that are here in the room, the sexual congress room at the West End.
And,
so
Congress of the Open Chat.
The second thing is we need to get here on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Trying to run it, rush it on Thursday, that did not work. No. And then third off, I don't remember what number three was. It was going to be really... Oh, True Dungeon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah! How many of you guys have been to True Dungeon?
Every year.
Wow. So
we understand that it sometimes it's kind of hard to get into True Dungeon. And what we want to try and do is...
I got the last ticket.
Oh, when did you get it?
When did I get it?
Yeah, when did you get the last ticket?
When I got here. I got up into the...
Oh, really? Oh, so maybe it's not that hard. You can still buy them on location.
See, what we're going to try and do is we're going to try and get tickets for the maximum party you can get. And then it's going to be us, you know, in the party, and then we're going to probably do contest to give out slots in our party.
Because I have never done True Dungeon
before. Yeah, I've never done one.
It's awesome. Well,
I didn't even know it existed until we met these gentlemen here over at the house or the safe house where it's called for some drinks on Thursday night. And they told us about it. Apparently, it's this great, big, life-size walk-through dungeon with real puzzles you actually solve and animatronic monsters and all kinds of special effects. And you walk in with little chips that define what's on your character. And for combat, you take this big shuffleboard thing and slide. Like, if you're swinging a sword, you
but
slide.
But it's totally not LARPing.
No, absolutely not.
You happen to be standing down.
When you introduce animatronics, this is no longer LARPing. It's an unfilmed movie. Right. So, yes. If there's just some guy walking around like, yeah, pretend I'm a dragon and making stupid noises, that's LARPing. But if they actually bust out great big animatronic monsters, that's a whole new level. So I definitely want to get in for that next year. I didn't even know it existed. We did get a token from you guys, go to the True Tavern.
Yes.
And we used it. We were like, wow, True Tavern, this is really cool place. If you're part of the True Dungeon, which we're not, so
for a bunch of guys walking into a Color Animal Inn, I think this is actually the Green Griffin Inn.
Griffin?
No, it was yeah, it was Green Griffin.
And, it's not that progressive. So.
It was the Green Griffin, then it turned into the Uncomfortable Stare Tavern. As,
yeah.
And I guess everybody realized, you're not supposed to
I guess
be
for
here.
Liquor law reasons, someone from the hotel, and that's what, that's the Marriott?
Oh, my God, this Marriott. Guy.
In the Marriott.
Yeah.
There's this bartender in there. I'm sure he's a great guy, but he had to be like 60 years old. Oh,
he was that old
he
first year.
He used to look at anyone, will not look anyone in the eye. He's like, I am a bartender at the Marriott.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, and I have to serve drinks to these people.
Yeah. His predecessor's the skeleton in room 3.
Yes.
Speaking of drinks, this man has a Guinness. I salute you.
Listen, you've got a leather mug. I have no idea what's in that, but
Finch wine.
Beer.
Oh, beer of some kind. Okay.
It's all right.
All right, so here's what we're... Go ahead.
No. Bud Light.
Oh, Bud Light?
Yeah, that's not beer.
Bud Light?
Depends on who he
that's
to.
Not. He's trying to use a fork to drink that.
Okay. Well, I think that we're talking to these people, and the audience can't, the listeners at home can't hear them. So
right.
We're just talking to
so, Chad, get off your ass and
so,
take that
okay.
mic out.
Do something.
Who has a question?
Question,
or
comment?
Comment, anything?
Something.
What's something that you've seen at Gen Con? I mean, what's really been a highlight so far of Gen Con?
Anything, on topic, off topic, past shows, your own games. All right, go ahead. Tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Ethan Rice. I'm from Greensburg, Pennsylvania. I've been listening to you guys since episode...
Since 1982?
Yeah,
exactly.
Back when we were the original FASA podcast. Recorded on an Apple 2GS. And
my question is actually for Mr. Reppinger here.
Okay.
Considering that in the video episode you had your little Hunter the Vigil
yes.
promo, was it everything that you wanted it to be?
You know, actually, I have thumbed through it, and thumbing through it, it looks good. I've not read it. I was actually going to buy a copy, but they said they're going to give me a review copy for the show. So
I love free.
Yes.
Who doesn't?
So I have not. Flipping through it, I saw some things I liked. I liked the way they have prayers and stuff set up in there. If you want to play a guy whose only superpower is a Bible and a pistol, you can do that, and that pleases me. I did not like what they did with Hunter of the Reckoning. I did not like that, you can only fight the supernatural if you yourself or something off the wall. You know, I like the idea of the regular guy going up against...
We know you're a Batman.
Yeah, complete Batman underdog story. What I've seen, I like. I will give a more detailed review once I've had a chance to actually read the book cover to cover.
Excellent.
So,
thank you.
Anything else, Ethan?
Well, I don't know. I did have a thought, but it could very well monopolize all these people's time. So
well, we'll try to keep it quick, though. What's your thought?
It was just, I actually meant to write you about this for the 100th episode.
Oh, here it comes. It's the love letter.
I did get one of those, by the way.
I always was curious, because it's an argument I've heard from fans who are really a fan of Hunter's Hunted, as opposed to Hunter the Reckoning. People don't like Hunter of the Reckoning because you're supernatural, you're imbued and stuff like that, but I've always been told that in addition to faith, you had hedge magic in the Hunter's Hunted.
As an option, you didn't have
it. So, my question is, when you can channel powers and abilities that normal people can't do anyway, how's that really all that
well,
different
you know,
from
I,
Hunter of the Reckoning?
I think a couple of ways I'd answer that. First off, you don't have to have or use hedge magic in that game. So you can play Hunter's Hunted did allow for you to play if you want to just regular guy off the street with a gun who had no superpowers whatsoever. But I think what, at least for me, sets it apart just emotionally is this is still something anyone could be. That you could, assuming hedge magic was real, you could go out and learn hedge magic. You can go to church and become a more godly man. You cannot be something supernatural unless that's just what you were born to be. And so it makes it still something accessible where even if you have kind of a strange edge, you still feel like you're playing the everyman. But having said that, I personally never took hedge magic because, quite frankly, I didn't think it was all that interesting anyway. So.
All right.
And there's also a difference in power levels.
Oh, bring it up here.
There's also a difference, of course, in power levels.
Yes.
I mean, so you have some small supernatural ability, you're still not on the level of a vampire or a full-fledged mage.
Right.
And so if you try to just go up against them one-on-one, you still get smashed.
Absolutely.
So the feel is different because you're still the underdog, you're even with these abilities.
Right, absolutely. And hedge magic and I believe psychics were the other thing in there. Was there a third one, thaumaturgy? Wonderworking? I can't remember. But I know those two were in there, and yeah.
Thaumaturgy was more in the vampire.
Okay, that was not. I couldn't remember if there's a third kind in there or not, but all of them, yeah, they're very much utility powers. Nowhere in there did you have, like, you could chew a root and blast somebody with a fireball, right. So it was, it just gave you slight edges and hints and such.
So, did anybody else have a question? Questions?
Questions, any comments? Minutes? On topic, off topic?
Has anyone seen Kevin Symbieta?
Yeah. Throw it on over another half shekel if you
want to. Oh, what's a 10 on? 10's half?
Pardon?
His
no, it's like 10 cents.
Oh, it's 10 cents. Okay, it's a 10 cents piece. Okay, I see.
What's your name? My name is Itamar, and I'm from the Hamitz Hakia, the Hebrew Gaming Podcast. Came all the way from Israel. First time for Gen Con.
We should add...
Just so Daniel Perez doesn't kill me, I will link that in the show notes, but I can't possibly spell that, so...
that's fine.
Could you have a card or something? Or
yeah, I've got...
He actually came all the way from just for Fear the Boot.
That's right.
It wasn't just
that's
for
right.
Gen Con.
He's out here for
Gen Con.
He's out here for the first ever Fear the Con Indie. So.
Exactly. Great work on the Thursday night, by the way. Oh. During headlines and stuff.
Well.
Card up. Fear the Boot. Fear the Boot.
So if you missed that on Thursday night, you really missed out as well.
So one remark and one question.
Okay.
First remark, as a tribute to Fear the Boot, I just had lunch and I had buffalo wings.
Oh. Whoa, all right.
But it didn't warm me. They were spicy.
We don't personally...
So that's,
I don't tend to eat buffalo wings. I don't like the buffalo flavor. Now, Chad does.
Oh, love it.
I always go for, like... I always go for teriyaki or barbecue wings, which aren't spicy, so...
And very wimpy.
But the question, did you go by the BattleTech booth? And what did you think of those games?
I did, and actually I was kind of disappointed because I know two guys from Catalyst, and I did not see either of them there. And I've actually been by a couple times hoping to talk to them to see what they're doing and nag them yet again about MechWarrior and find out when they're going to finally release the RPG side of it. So I've not gone by and looked at things in detail this year. Now, I did last year. I talked to them again at Gamma. I will say they're great guys. I love what they do. I believe in the ethic and the quality they put into their products, but I don't
have... Very slick, great-looking products.
Oh, actually, there's a Catalyst guy sitting right in front of me, and I...
Except for Shadowrun.
This is great. Isn't Shadowrun like half of what they do?
Well,
maybe more like a fourth.
Look, have you ever talked to someone who's married and they refer to their wife as their better half? And they're typically not being all that honest. I mean, really, who thinks your spouse is better than you? So that's kind of how BattleTech and Shadowrun work together.
Well, now, wait a second. Now, I have gone through there, and I just found out today Catalyst released a product for the BattleTech line. It was it's called like the Blake Files Jihad Conspiracies, and apparently. I don't know if you were in the exhibitors hall yesterday, you saw a bunch of people dressed up in Blakist uniforms. They had little hoods and all that, and they're handing out little pamphlets. And I got one. I didn't know what the hell this thing was until I got there today and saw that they had released this book at Gen Con. And apparently, the writers some of the writers didn't even know that this was happening. It wasn't on any catalog. They didn't make any announcement about it. They'd kind of teased it a little bit, but a tremendous amount of people had no idea this was coming, and so it was kind of like a surprise document, really, to everybody that was there. And I did pick that up this afternoon and just started to thumb through it, but it's a bunch of secrets from the BattleTech universe as far as, like, answers as to what really happened to, say, like, the Minnesota tribe and things like that.
Cool. Yeah. We got a guy sitting from Catalyst right here. What is your new stuff for BattleTech?
Was I right, or was I completely, like, just...
No, you're right. But I'm here for Shadowrun, so...
Oh, so you don't know?
Oh. Right.
Shadowrun.
Okay, well, let's get one thing out of you.
I defy you to not enjoy a Shadowrun game.
I like Shadowrun. Ignore
him. Because broadside stuff.
Oh, that's cool. I don't know how that worked in there, but no, I personally love Shadowrun. I own the second edition books. I thought first edition was hard to follow, but I really enjoy Shadowrun. That's Chad and John's ass.
You're the one that told me that Dunkelzahn is still alive, right? Yeah.
Who says he's dead?
So, okay. We only want to...
The big explosion? That never killed a PC. Why would it kill a dragon?
That's a dragon fart.
All right, enough gaming Shadowrun stories.
That's right, we want Rift stories.
Anybody else have a question?
Yes. I'm Andrew from Australia. I was just wondering if any of you guys had done the cheese weasel thing, wandering around the vendor hall, getting all the...
Before I answer your question, did you go to Gen Con Oz? Because they had the first one this year. I mean, since Australia's a little country and all, I figured just whatever city it's in, you just hop right over to it.
Yeah. So, no, I kind of already had the trip here planned and decided... I'd rather go to Gen Con Indy than Gen Con Oz.
It was shorter to fly here than to drive.
For those of you coming in late, you can just drop your 10 generic tickets up here at the front desk. Yeah. we'll take care of them and refund them later for our own personal benefit.
To answer your question,
seats still up here if you want them.
No, I did not. I ran into Kim again, the lady that does the gamer travel stuff, does like the gamer cruises and such, and she was telling me about what they were doing, where you get the little card and go from booth to booth, and if you complete the little quests they give you, then at the end, there's a big raffle where like everyone that's participating puts in prizes, and they were saying like each individual, the three winners, was going to get like four figures in prize value. I mean, it was like thousands of dollars in prizes. And the guy that was doing it, for the benefit of you that aren't here, he was even standing in his booth with a little yellow exclamation mark above his head like a Warcraft quest giver. No, I did not do it, though. Part of the reason being, I actually did not even get to the dealer room until sometime yesterday afternoon, just because Thursday was so crazy for me, and then Saturday, I don't roll out of bed until noon or one. So by the time I got up and got about, but does anyone know, are they running that? When are they stopping that?
2 p.m. Sunday.
They're stopping at 2 p.m. on Sunday? Yeah. So I may go back and pick that up and just to see what that's all about and
cool.
See what they've got. Because I've heard it's pretty cool. I just personally have not had a chance
so
to do
the
it.
Gentleman in the blue has been raising his hand quite a bit. So.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Howdy.
Andy from the Amorphous Blob Gamecast. Big fans.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, go ahead and give a shout out there. What's the URL for Amorphous Blob Gamecast?
www.abgames.com.
abgames.com. All right.
You got it. Hey, love your show. You guys have got a very different twist than a lot of the other podcasts. You seem to have some professional background or something. I mean, you got all the cool tech.
Are you implying we're killers?
No, it's just Andy. killers or prostitutes.
Making no implications, but talk a little bit about how you guys got into podcasting and what professional skills you found from your real lives or your past lives that have helped you in podcasting.
Dan's professional experience is actually male gigolo, so he does have some professional experience. And his hair. I mean, that's...
To answer your question, actually, none of us have professional broadcast experience of any kind.
If you ask our wives, we can't shut up.
That's
pretty much what we like to talk.
Well, and that's just slight to all that. But in general, you're right. Although in the real world, I do work in television, but
not on broadcast side.
It's more on the technical side. I have more of a radio face, so that's why I stay doing what I'm doing. So,
but let's see, where do we get some of these abilities? Honestly, I think a lot of it is just, I don't know, just the way we are. For years, my wife has been telling us, she sits there listening to us, she's jacking around the living room, and she was telling me, you guys ought to record this. And just for the entertainment value of it.
All this stuff we talk about, I mean, we've never tried anything like this before. We tried creative endeavors that ultimately always fail, but the things that we do, it's not any technical ability, didn't take any classes, didn't anything like this. We would game for, we'll say, 6 hours, and then we'd talk about it for 5 hours. And that's kind of what we brought to the show. It's just us talking about the things that
right.
we love and the fact that we're always right.
And
so.
I think part of the advantage we have also is to say only about 1% of business endeavors actually succeed. We have failed 99 times ourselves, so the karma is due to come around. How we got into podcasting was a friend of mine who actually was on the show, Mike, who was on the show for a while. He was the counselor. And his dad owns his own human resources company. And he asked if I knew anything about podcasting. He was reading through some business magazine, saw something about podcasting being the next way to communicate your message out to your audience, and he wanted to start one up. I'm a computer programmer. He knew I knew a lot about computers and said, Dan, what do you know about this? I said, well, nothing, but I'll figure it out. Went out, picked up Podcasting for Dummies by T. Morris and Eva. Who's
Evo
the? Terry. Okay. Couldn't remember the other name on there. Met T. He's a great guy. And, also did a little bit of reading online, places like Podcast Pickle and such, learned the basics of sound recording, got out there, started doing it. I was having a ton of fun. And I'm like, you know, wait a minute. If I can have this much fun doing a podcast on one of the most boring subjects mankind has ever created, just corporate crap, then how much fun could I have doing a podcast about something I actually enjoy? And so what is it we enjoy? We like video games, but we can't possibly stand head over shoulders with people like Penny Arcade. So we decided, you know what, we'll just do role-playing games. And it's thankfully been a success. We had no idea going into it if we'd succeed or not, if anyone would even care. And we owe everything we have to you guys who have supported us and just been so great through this whole thing. I'll do it, man. I'll give a round of applause for any day of the week. Let's do it with these two guys, the guy in the cloak here and the guy in black. And also, we've got someone way in back who's going to have to come down here, so I don't think Court's that long.
Another shameless plug, Bill Morton, Dragonlance Canticle podcast.
Yes,
I would have thought you were into sci-fi.
But
absolutely.
Do love the guys over there, Trampas in particular. He's come out and done a lot of stuff with us.
I do have to say curse you ever since you've put out the commentary on the movie. Because I can't recall how many times I've heard awesome plus 10 this week. So
plus 10 to awesome right there.
That was a complete experiment. We rolled into it not having any idea. We've never seen the movie before, never did anything like that before. We're like, this is either going to be really funny or make us look like asses, and it did both. So
it was actually well received out on the Dragonlance forums. People got that you weren't being serious,
right?
And just having fun.
Serious fun.
Yeah, right. I mean, if we hated role playing games that much, we wouldn't be doing this. So
exactly.
But actually, my question is, listening throughout all your podcasts...
Tracy Hickman is a man. Just...
What? What?
My world is shattered.
I know, I hate to shatter everyone's world.
There goes all my fanfic.
It doesn't go, it just changes theme.
Listening throughout all your podcasts, you guys seem to have a lot of campaigns you ran, a lot of, and you'd say, failed.
Yes.
This all... What would you consider probably your most successful experience in roleplay?
Ooh, games? Can you quantify success, or qualify rather, successful at all?
Okay.
Just we got the most enjoyment out of it, went the longest?
Two different areas, maybe a longest campaign, or possibly what you consider just a fantastic experience.
My personal one is, I keep talking about it on the show, I try not to get into the gamer story with it, but I always draw examples from it. It's the Seasons game I did with...
It's a D&D game. Yeah, Seasons is just the name he gave to the campaign.
Yeah, the name I gave to it. It was a 3.5 where I just took the rules and threw them over my shoulder. And it was just a place in a castle. Whenever I try and run D&D, I try to rebel against the norm of, you know, your heroes and you're traveling 1,000 miles to chuck a ring in a volcano or dive into a dungeon. I had the guys stay in one place. They owned a castle. One guy was the king of the castle, and then everybody else came off of it where they were like the lords, ladies, seneschals, the men-at-arms, the this, the that, the other. They all had a position within the castle, and they had functions that they had to do. And basically, it was a very low magic, very low sort of dark thing, and zombies attack.
Woohoo!
And everybody loves a zombie, but the thing is that wasn't the plot. The zombie attack, the thousands of zombies, everybody dying, all this stuff... You know, life, you know, crashing around, down around them. It was total backdrop.
Right. It was like Signs. There was a great big invasion that didn't matter.
Yeah. And it was...
Boy, that was
So, but the story, the plot, the what the players did, it was they were basically backstabbing each other. Each one of them in some way was trying to make a power grab. And the king at the top... was trying, he had the least amount of power, but the most amount of sway. It was really interesting. Nobody could go directly at each other, because it would be treason. So everybody tried to work around and use advantages. All the while, they needed to stop and work together and fight off the zombies, which would be really boring. So, but it was neat. It was neat. The zombies got through because they weren't fighting them enough, and they were still trying to backstab each other. It was just a fun, really interesting campaign with lots
of
interesting
plays. How many plays
would he... What's that?
How many characters were eaten?
None. None were eaten.
I'll bridge his answer because the answer for the longest is actually the same for him and I both. We had a Battletech campaign with a mercenary corps, and that went on for years. It was not the only game we played, but it got played on and off for a very long time. And we actually, we played it when we were younger, so we brought it back and tried to do a revival game of it when we were older, where it's like, it's more mature, it's more grown up. We just sort of advanced the storyline that the mercenary corps had fallen in disrepair, and they were trying to rebuild it. And it, that went pretty cool, but that was by far the longest campaign we did. The most successful one I have ever been in and this is also one I've mentioned on the show, was a game for my own setting up, Aqua Verisos, that we did in Mike's basement. Chad was playing, Mike was playing, Tim and Don were playing. Tim was on like one or two episodes. Don was on for a while. And it was six settings long, had a definitive start, middle, and end, and just went fantastically. Everyone was just absolutely on their A game. The kinds of things you cannot plan happen in that game. Chris?
For me, it probably would have been the last campaign I just ran, which was, I'd say just ran, really it ended in 2005. It took about 3 years. It was my own homebrew world called Dahara, and it went through. I was actually surprised that it actually did complete, because I went through at least 10 players rotating. I only had two players that were there the entire time throughout the length of the campaign. Just about as many characters, and having one player even switch characters during it. And I classify it as a success, A, because it actually had a beginning, middle, and end. And then also the player satisfaction that they give back to me out of it was incredible. I mean, I'm still, even on the ride down here, one of the guys told me that they still talk about your campaign. And that to me says that they really enjoyed themselves. And it was a good campaign. It was the best one I ever ran. There was a tremendous amount of character investment, and investment for me too. In fact, the day that we had essentially the final battle that ended the campaign turned into kind of almost a miniature party in a sense, where we knew it was going to take all day long, so we barbecued, we took breaks, we had dinner, all that kind of stuff, and it lasted the whole day, but it was worth it in the end. So
cool. Do you want to take some more questions, or do you want to
talk about as long as people are interested, we'll keep going.
Got him, we'll answer.
We can talk by ourselves about anything anytime. So
actually, let me ask him. Okay. Let me get him up. Yeah, go ahead.
Step, someone, step.
Yeah, someone hummed Chariots of Fire. Like.
Dead Air Tag. Another podcast who inspired
me. Wait, what's your name?
Oh, Dave Kleinschmidt, and my friend Jeff Yell and I got inspired and started the Two Half Squads talking about Advanced Squad Leader.
Ooh.
And this is just taking off.
What's the URL for that?
I'm not the techie guy.
Uh oh. Can we get a
www.twohalfsquads.podbean.com.
Okay, I'll try to. I'll try to get the URL in the show notes.
Thanks, and we'll. I'll certainly mention you guys now.
I'm going to be on the show. Everyone, listen to Fear the Boot.
But the ASL players, as you know, the ASL players are not represented here at all. You know, I was kind of surprised to find. But I wanted to say what we learned listening to you guys compared to the other podcasts is that having that fun and having that banter between you all just makes it seem like you're listening to your friends. And that's the key to it. So now instead of listening to music while I'm painting minis, I'm always going, new episode up yet? All right. And then I just put you guys on, and it sounds like I'm in the room, listening to good friends. So that banter is a real key. And some of the other shows get a little draggy, or it's one person. So be sure to keep that going.
Related to that, and I don't mean to completely interrupt you, but I'm going to.
Because we're Fear the Boot.
Because we're Fear the Boot, and I can do that. Being someone who's essentially an outsider, not being from the St. Louis area, and really up until Dan and I started exchanging emails several years ago, I don't really know these guys. I don't have the history with these guys at all. But as I got to know them, and particularly when it came to actually being part of the podcast, they're very, very inclusive in there. I mean, they give me a hard time just as much as they would give each other a hard time, that I'm not treated any differently. So I've been made to feel very welcome in that sense. And it reflects on the show. Well, and, yeah, and maybe it's mercy because I'm so flipping old, I'm not sure, but it depends. But it is, they're very good in that, and it's a kudos to them, having gone through as many hosts as they have, that rapport can still stand up.
Yeah,
and that is definitely something. We have made a decision on our show that we do not ever critique another podcast, just because when we came into this, we expected there to be a lot of rivalry and bitterness, and there's not. The podcasters that are out there have been probably the single coolest peer group I have ever had in my entire life, and I absolutely mean that. And because of that, we never say anything about another podcast unless it's praise. We'll make fun of the gaming industry 10 ways to Sunday, but we will not do it with a podcast.
Well, we'll make fun of DLI.
Yeah, we'll DLI, but they started that one.
They started.
But no, the one of the things that we wanted to do with this show was we do not keep up enough with the industry to compete with the guys that do a solid news format. We can't sit there and just, well, here's this release, and we're going to interview this guy, because we don't have that kind of information.
Not only do we not have that kind of information, we really do not care.
Yeah, so we decided to bring the mics what we have, which is just that kind of ribald humor. And I'm glad to hear it's worked out. I'm glad to hear you guys are enjoying it. So.
And then also, I thought you guys had talked about playing Deadlands. Is that
yes?
Right? Yes. In fact, we did play Deadlands. We did a campaign that wasn't
Savage Earth or the Savage Worlds version. I was called Savage Earth. Savage Worlds version.
Yeah,
yes.
Savage, not
the old one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then, is anyone playing it here at Gen Con? I haven't been able to find.
Man, I have no idea. Is anyone?
You know, I think I saw a couple events in the book.
They're running some stuff with Savage Lands.
So the, okay, there's Savage Deadlands. So
okay.
Right, I have to admit, I really did enjoy Savage Deadlands.
Yes.
Really good. My name is Nick Priest from Houston, Texas, and just about Savage Worlds. For the longest time, I've been a D&D 3.5 player, and after reading the 4th Ed books, I was finally convinced that I need to try some new systems because I think 4th Ed is terrible. So
how about you staying with 3.5?
Well, 3.5 was starting to get a little old, so I just wanted to say that at the con here, because of your guys' recommendation, I picked up Battletech and Savage Worlds.
Excellent.
Cool.
Yeah.
Before you jump in with the next question.
Julian, come on up here, though. He's been like half up for about the past 20 minutes. So.
Give me a show of hands. How many people here who are not from the United States?
Okay, we got the guy from Israel and the guy from Australia. Right. So.
And then obviously, the rest of you are.
Oh, yeah, I guess Ryan back there, he's from Iceland or.
No, they covered enough miles.
I'm just determining global reach, that's all. So okay. Go right ahead.
I'm Will Reeves from the Chicagoland area, and I could be also called the anti Chad because I LARPed and enjoyed it. I play Shadowrun.
Chad will he's LARPed too. Skies of Glass was originally a LARP game.
Oh, okay.
So
I've LARPed. I've played Shadowrun. I have enjoyed playing Shadowrun.
I've Shadowrun LARPed.
But go continue. Please.
You can't deny it later.
I still don't think it's a good game.
Continue.
But I have played it, enjoyed it. And my first campaign ever was Rifts, which I didn't. But anyway, we'll just sort of leave that aside. But
how many copies do you own?
But my question is related to that, and also related to the last question. You've obviously been gaming for decades.
Yes.
So between you, probably several decades, maybe even a century. If you combine all the people who
don't worry, you'll get there, buddy.
You'll still be older.
You've obviously gotten your loves like Battletech.
Yes.
And you have your homemade systems as well, like Epic of Rhysos.
Yes.
But what causes you to pick up a new system, given all the systems you already own, and what causes you to look at a new game and say, out of all my library, maybe I want to try this now instead of something else?
Two things, maybe three.
For me, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, for Chad, it's nothing. So.
I don't pick up new systems, I don't care about rules, and I make my own worlds that are intertwined with whatever campaign I'm doing, and then when I'm done with the campaign, I take both the world, campaign, characters, everything I made, I just throw it out and forget about it and do something new.
Yeah, it's... But. For me,
I don't recommend that for everybody.
First thing is if I don't have a game that represents something at all, and I don't feel I know enough about it to do it well. Legends of the Five Rings was a good one. I have the original back when it was played with D10s before I did the D20 conversion. Somebody told me they've converted off of D20.
Yeah,
But I picked up the original one because I was interested in an Asian-themed fantasy game that was really steeped in the Chinese and Japanese mythology and things like that. I realize it's more Japanese than Chinese. But that's an example. I picked that up because I had nothing that represented it. Maybe if I don't have a game that represents something well, that'd be another example. The single biggest thing is typically for me, friend recommendation. If I've got friends who just pick up a system, they love it, they play it, that's what they're playing right now, that's what they want to get me involved in, that's generally what motivates me to get it because I don't want to be the one guy at the table who doesn't have a player's handbook.
That's how we got into
Savage Worlds. Yeah,
Deadlands.
There's many games like that I picked up just because of the influence of friends. We've talked about in the show, and actually the guy we interviewed talked about sitting there in the back, about the power that a game master has as the single biggest marketing activist in the RPG hobby. And it's absolutely true. And so that for me is, Chris, what about you? Just pick up everything.
Well,
there's like a trash bin of role playing games.
It's for me, it's also recommendations. But really, for me, it's more genre than anything else. If it's a genre that appeals to me, even if the rules blow, I'll still give it a shot just because of the genre that it's in. Shadowrun did that for me back in when it first came out back in '89. Deadlands did that for me as well. Skies of Glass, actually, I had absolutely no desire or interest to try and get involved when I first heard that Fear the Boot was going to do their thing. In fact, actually, I wasn't even very happy that they were going to do the game design series. But once I found out what it was, I love post-apocalyptic. So I thought, well, now I have to get involved. So, you know, if it's a genre, that's really what drives it for me.
You know what does not sell games to me? Is artwork. I have never picked up an RPG book just because I like the artwork. If somebody owns it, I might flip through it and look at the art book. But never before has a cover or the internal art ever sold me a book.
We've played very, very good games that had terrible art in it. And it's actually something we like. We like to make fun of the artists.
Yeah. We used to flip through the FASA books, and we'd just have whole cities where we'd do nothing but make fun of the art. So just because you could never have any idea what the context was. Just these strange scenes that...
You make fun of Second Edition Shadowrun all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
We have. We've already spotted
it. Recorded it.
In Second Edition Shadowrun, if I had my book with me, I'd give you a page number. There's a picture in that book, which, look it up, it is the guys' gaming group. You can just take one look at it, because here's these guys that are supposed to be badass, street-hardened guys who all look like kind of greasy, white, middle class. One of them even has the not-quite-grown-out, scraggly mustache, and it's... I can't think who drew that picture. I'll look. I'm gonna have to give this on in 113. I'll give that page number.
Yeah. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, guy was trucking up here from the back.
Hi guys, my name is Jason Hunter. I'm from the northern Indianapolis area. So first of all, thank you for giving us another shot and coming back, because I've been listening to you guys since before that first time you guys came to Gen Con and had a really bad experience. And
I chastised them when they said, "Oh, Gen Con wasn't that big of a deal."
Lots of people.
Yeah, I know that was.
Yeah,
basically
that was our own fault.
Everybody came in and said, "You guys just did not get it." And
well, we didn't come to it.
It was like a drive-through.
Yeah,
we came in. We had the wrong time zone. I thought this place was in Central Time, so we were here an hour off. Couldn't meet, find anybody, and then left. So we didn't do it. But please,
I'm glad you guys came back. Also, a suggestion, maybe next year, a Worldwide Wing Night during Gen Con.
If we come back on Wednesday night, if we actually come out on a Wednesday night, definitely, either Wednesday night or Thursday night, there's no reason not to. And by the way, for anyone here or at home, we are going to have an official Worldwide Wing Night probably in early to mid-October. We'll pick an exact weekend once we get back to St. Louis and review our schedules. So we are going to have another one here soon, but I would love to have one here, maybe like on Wednesday night. We just have to find some place around here that would commit to a location. Because when we tried to do, well, if they'd run it out to us, when we tried to do the thing for Thursday night, is Christian in here?
No, he's not.
He's not. All right.
Chris Rock, nobody goes to Hooters for wings.
But Christian on the forums, Z Copyrights, who scheduled this, he's from the area, and he said he called a bunch of restaurants, and none of them would take a reservation for a large party because they thought they would get more business just from the sheer press of geeks wanting boutique beers. So,
hey, I'm a geek who loves boutique.
Well, that's part of the reason I'm wondering why if we could do better on a Wednesday night, because it'd be a little outside of the big push of the con. So.
Our plan is to throw in the Hickman's Killer Breakfast. That's we're going to take them out.
But the answer is yes. Well, I would definitely like to do that for Gen Con 2009.
And I'd also like to thank you for you keep it clean for one, and I really appreciate your Sunday morning activities when you're not here at Gen Con. I'm not going to go into that.
Right.
A big thing.
No, I understand. I understand what you're talking about, so no problem at all.
And okay. And guys, I'm still doing Second Edition. I don't know about third or fourth.
There's nothing wrong with Second Edition. There's nothing.
No wrong way to.
I'm actually about to start. When we get back, we're going to start an Iron Kingdoms game.
That's not true.
And after that, we're probably going to do a D&D game, which I'm thinking about doing in Second Edition. So there's nothing wrong with good old Second Edition. All right. Anybody else?
Hi, I'm back as the only podcaster who hasn't plugged my podcast on your show.
Okay, yes, please do.
I have a question about how you guys initially got the word out about your podcast, found your market, that sort of thing. Where did you just...
Well,
it's funny because we're DL2 and Dice Like Thunder. So
Dice Like Thunder, what's your URL?
DiceLikeThunder.com.
DiceLikeThunder.com.
We're a 40K podcast.
Okay.
Basically, we had absolutely no...
Were you at Icon?
Yeah,
I thought so. I'd say you looked really familiar in the name Map. I was like, I know this guy. I think we sat on a panel or two together.
Well, also, you know, I adhere to the fat beard Kevin Smith gaming stereotype, so I could be one of 50 guys you've met before.
I would.
Look, I'm wearing a bowling shirt. How original. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you are wearing a black shirt. There's no witticism on it. I don't know if I quite call you the fat beard. I mean, you're like really big into like...
You know, I just bought a couple. I haven't changed into them. We're all supposed to wear these.
Do you play like a ton of Napoleonic War games?
No.
Oh. Do you hate other people?
Well,
that just makes you poor for this audience. Lie. I mean, so, yeah, all right, right, okay.
So,
how did we get the word out on our podcast? The first thing we did was we started talking to other podcasters. This is, like I said before, this is not a cutthroat endeavor at all, and the people are so supportive. If you get in there and talk to them, you'd be surprised what people are willing to do just as an act of courtesy or friendship, because they were where you were. They were where you are at one point themselves.
And
just
correct
like,
me if I'm wrong, I have to give props out to DLI. I mean,
well, it's a bunch of them. DLI, yeah. All Games Considered.
What is DLI? I have never
They weren't the only one, but they were one of the first ones who listened to us, and we don't do commercials, and we don't give out commercials. And they just listened to us, and they said, hey, check these guys
out.
Say,
and that was how I actually found Free the Boot.
Yeah.
It was an offhanded comment by History Dave that he made one time on there saying that these guys are really good, and I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And then I started listening, and so of course you find out I was a Battletech, and I was hooked.
Yeah, so Dragon's Landing In, All Games Considered, the guys that do Fistful of Games and Comics, man, I almost feel bad giving this list. I know I'm going to forget so many people. It helped us out. Harpy and Mick, he now, I think, folded his podcast, and now is on somebody else's.
Harpy and Monkey?
Yeah, I don't think Harpy and Monkey exists anymore, though.
Yeah, the RPG podcast.
Yeah. What's still there?
The Harpy and Monkey forum.
The forums are still there?
Yeah, I mean, he's doing the Game Master Show, I think.
Okay, so he's on the Game Master Show now.
And he also has a lot of live play stuff, I think, on, like, RPG podcasts.
Okay, so we've had a great... Yeah, I would say we've had a great relationship with the guys from Pulp Gamer. I mean, just that's the first place I started, is get to know the other guys that are out there. In fact, stop by and talk to Don, because he actually, I believe, aren't you the sponsor of the RPG Podcasters Group? No, it's not you? Oh, okay, I'm giving credit. Okay, I thought that was you for some reason. But
what are some things that we did do that we tried that just failed miserably? I know we've got some Google ads that we tried.
Yeah,
to do
don't use Google ads.
They drove no traffic to us. And we got a banner ad on RPGNet.
That did help.
Oh, did it?
That actually did help.
Oh, okay.
It did not help a lot. We got some banner space with RPGNet.
And this is all stuff we did early on. We had, like, just
award ceremonies sometimes can be good.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Honestly, controversy. You have not. Seriously.
I mean, I'm not going to mention anything.
The web stats we have, if I go out to Libsyn and look at our download stats, Chad and I were looking at, because we don't look at our stats that often, so we went out a couple weeks ago and looking at our historical since we started web stats just to see. And watching our downloads, there was this point in, it was like April
July.
Of last year, where it just shot way up. What was going on in April of last year?
Did you get on iTunes?
And no, we were on iTunes from the start.
Yeah.
But
we start going back through our archives.
It was that award show controversy that like doubled our listenership.
When you made the suggestion of...
Yes, of impropriety.
Yeah. And then let me make that suggestion on your podcast.
Yes, go ahead.
See if it helps mine.
Go ahead. But
it was not episode 105, though, I'll tell you that one.
Network with the other podcasters. Definitely use... put out...
Free stuff. We love free.
Yeah, work conventions, get out there, do some panels, get your name known that way, and honestly, above anything else, put out a good show. When we started, when we started the shows, you know, several people were talking to us.
That's stuff we can do.
And what they said is, they said, "Look, if you put out a good product, it may not grow quickly, but it will grow slowly and steadily, and you will get there." Because
if you get that damn handsome guy Chris Hussey, then it'll just rock it.
Hells yeah. If you build it, they will come. I mean, that's very cliche, but it's true.
So that's the big things I'd recommend, is network with the other podcasters. Do what you can to promote yourself at conventions, and above all else, just make a good show.
Then you need to do a technical show where you just tell us how to make
we have
a show with that. Don's got a whole track going for that, and actually we had a panel on that people signed up for, not a single person attended. but there are tracks. We do a Gen Con on that. There are some local conventions we sometimes do that at back in St. Louis. And if you at any point ever have questions, by all means, email me or any other podcaster. The amount of help you get, it will be unbelievable.
You may not answer me.
Yeah.
No.
Assuming I read the email.
You feel good. Like, at least you made an effort. Right. But he didn't.
All right. Who else?
Any questions?
All right. Got somebody. Come on down.
What are you next?
You're the next contestant on Fear the Boot.
I'm cheering for you.
Spay and neuter your cats. Hey.
Kyle Jones, Animal Cast.
Oh, hey.
Hey,
how you doing?
Nice to meet you.
So, did you guys win last night?
No. The websites in the fan site category beat the podcast.
So
it was
and I would imagine because they're the exact same things.
Yeah, no, exactly.
The website, podcast.
The website, the podcast, and the PDF adventure.
Good competition. You know. And I missed the first 10 minutes. I apologize if somebody asked us.
Sure.
Gaming or non-gaming related, what kind of podcasts do you guys listen to?
Absolutely none.
I think
Web
2.0. No, I listen to
it. These guys do, but
yeah,
I
listen to a smattering of the gaming ones. There are so many I cannot keep up with them, but I do try to listen to an episode here and there from a bunch of the other gaming podcasts out there, just see what people are doing and see what they're talking about, you know, just be involved in that community. Apart from that, I don't tend to listen to a lot of news via podcast just because I spend my whole day sitting behind a computer. I'd rather go to the website and get an instant update on what's going on rather than news that, even if it's hours old, I mean, some of these stories may change radically. I listen to some religious podcasts. You can ask me afterwards if you want to know which ones. This is a politics and religion free show, so I won't go into that in too great a detail. What else do I listen to? I have listened on off to some history ones. Ask Uncle Jay. It's a show where it's a video cast where all the guy does is make fun of the news, and he does a very good job of remaining pretty apolitical. He goes after everybody, and he's very funny. That's really about it. I may pick up a language one here at some point and see how good those are for actually learning a language. But
if I can add real quick,
sure.
A good way to promote your podcast is to spam the Fear the Boot forums. That
yes,
I found.
Well, if it's a podcast about WoW Gold, then please stop by the forums.
And also, anybody that uses RPG News or Gaming Report, that gets your information out of.
Yeah, there's something I forgot. Actually, Daniel Perez got me tuned into that. There are a bunch of places. RPG Net does it. He just gave some of those. I don't have the list in front of me, but there are a bunch of places where you can put up free press reports. And those do actually get read and get looked at. So that's something else you want to look into. And if you can't find that list, either track down Daniel Perez from High Moon and tell him I told you to spam him, or you can ask me and I'll try to look up the list. Anyone else? We've got a couple minutes here. Five more minutes.
Just someone here.
Okay, we'll grab this guy and then we'll grab this guy over here. So.
Rock on.
Can you look?
Nice horn.
Is that, yeah, really.
It's functional.
Yeah. It's always good to have a functional horn.
Yeah, I got to give you props. You're actually wearing the full actual kilt, yep. not the pleated skirt.
I'm digging the beard too. Actually, with the braid, that's pretty.
These men love you.
He comes with handles.
I'm addressing Jeremiah Johnson from Minnesota.
Woo!
And it was great to hear a podcast that went into the deep role playing, deep characters, character development. But one thing I've never heard you guys talk about is the world type campaign where. Even when this campaign gets over, these characters stop, their actions matter and have effect in the world, and it keeps going.
You know,
the next group starts.
I'm probably note that as a full topic because, man, that's a big
one.
We're
going to totally rip you off.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. We
were writing. I love you.
Give me that pen. I'm gonna write his name down here so we credit the right person.
What part of Minnesota are you from?
Southwest Minnesota, Marshall.
Tracy.
Right.
Okay, so,
yeah.
You know, I tell you, let me give you kind of a few thoughts on that. We'll come back and develop that as a full topic here in a later show. But to give you a few quick thoughts on that, I think part of the reason we never talked about it is because, for me, a campaign where the character's actions matter to the next thing is usually a homebrew. When I run settings that are pre-written, like Fire on Battletech, Forgotten Realms, whatever, I tend to reset the timeline every time we start a new campaign because that allows me to have these big, massive, world-rending events occur that will not destroy the possibility of any future game in a recognizable setting. Now, I do that all the time in homebrews. In fact, sometimes I use the campaigns to help me develop a backstory for those settings. But I could talk about that for quite a while. So.
Yeah, well, hopefully we
will. Yeah, we will come back to that. Now, I've noted your name. I've noted your name topic here. If you want to grab this guy and then Ed?
Blatantly whoring myself out here, Ethan from before, considering that I think I'm one of the few people who's been up here who does not have a podcast with him.
Okay.
You are a very important gamer. We actually have two. Anybody else a VIG? No, we have two VIGs.
Yeah, you know me.
Ed means you pay a whole lot of money for...
Actually, he got his
program that isn't quite done yet. But anyway, basically, I had a question about a comment that you, Chad, made. I want to think it was episode 13 or 15, whatever the Freak Show episode.
God, I don't remember.
Whatever the Freak Show episode was, you had mentioned that you generally were not a fan of gamers playing female characters, male gamers playing female characters, and then you kind of segued into the Freak Show character topic. So the best I was ever able to kind of glimmer from that was that your objection was kind of because of the Freak Show topic.
No.
And I was wondering if you could maybe elaborate on that a little bit.
My view on males playing females and females playing males, I don't have a problem with a guy playing a chick or a chick playing a guy. I have a problem with bad role playing. And the problem is that it is very hard. I have not seen in all the years I've been role playing with all the different people, anybody who could play the opposite sex very well. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Obviously, it does happen. Obviously, you know, there are great actors, you know, stage actors.
Well, there are people out there who don't play elves any better, so it's...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying people shouldn't do it, but like I said, it's like, you know, are you a good enough role player to do it? I played a female character once, and I really enjoyed it. And what I did is I played a 9-year-old girl. And her orphan, I don't even remember the story. I just remember I enjoyed it, and I tried to play the little girl thing well without trying to play it up. I don't know if I succeeded or not, but
something we've observed,
I know it can be done.
But something we've observed, and I said this is not a universal truth, but it happens a lot, is playing a female character is one of two things. It's either a chance to RP the girl I was never able to date.
I have one of those in my game
group. Or, well, I don't want her to be the slut I was never able to date. And so, therefore, to keep her from being that, she's going to be a complete bitch. And those are the two archetypes that tend to... Now, once again, we know there are people out there who can do it right, but it just seems to be such a... It's like the Freak Show characters in that it tends to be an excuse for bad role-playing.
Yeah.
That I don't need to role-play well because I'm playing a chick. And she's got big boobs, a gun, and an attitude that probably deserves her getting shot. So
yeah. If you've ever seen a stage play of Peter Pan, you know that, you know, a female can play a guy perfectly well and play of other examples.
Or if you've ever seen the Wachowski brothers, so...
Brothers?
That one may get edited out. I don't know.
So, what's your name?
I'm Ed, also from Indianapolis. Yeah.
And you have a title this comic.
Yes.
What's your title?
I'm also another very important gamer, but I'm, more importantly, a toft bitch.
Yes, you are. And
toft bitches.
Yep. What we had on the forums, like 2 or 3 days before Gen Con, we came up with this great idea of having the official Fear the Boot communications hub, which is basically three people who have all the phone numbers and cell phone numbers of a whole bunch of booters, and if you acronym that out, it spells toft bitch. And he is one of our toft bitches, and so is this man here.
Okay.
It's been very useful.
So, Ed, fire away.
All right, so my question is actually a follow-up to what Chris had mentioned earlier, where he picks up systems based on genre. I was wondering, what genre of gaming do you absolutely loathe and despise above all else?
Is Shadowrun a genre?
It can be.
It's really hard to say. I mean, you know, Shadowrun riffs jokes aside, any game can be good, and I'm willing to try anything. I mean, I love fantasy, I love sci-fi, I adore cyberpunk, modern settings, realistic settings. I think that the one setting, the one genre that I just don't really care for is super high fantasy. I'm talking like wizards on the back of flying unicorns with rainbows coming out their butts, fighting dragons on third ethereal planes of whatever while gnomes...
Pilot giant robots that...
Yeah.
Communist gnomes.
That's just me. So I would have to say, if I had to give an answer, I would say super high fantasy.
If I had to pick a readily just recognizable genre, I'd probably go superheroes just because I don't think they translate well to a role-playing game. I think it's very hard to create a party of superheroes and get a functional game out of it. I'm not saying it's impossible. I think it's very hard. The only thing I would say just categorically I don't like is concept games. And I don't know that anyone would take that as a genre. But where somebody's like, I have a great idea, let's build a role-playing game off of that, and that's all it ever is. It's just an extension of this one idea. Like, wouldn't it be funky if we played, I don't know what, just something really strange, and that becomes
Thomas
a role-playing
game? Thomas the Tank Engine, the role-playing game?
Thomas the Tank Engine? You're Thomas the Train?
Kids.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would.
Kids.
Okay.
For me, it probably, honestly, and this might be more for I just lack of experience, but horror. I just don't buy it. I don't think it can be properly role-played. I mean, the investment you have to have is not enough. And then games that border on the ridiculous, not in what you would say would be the Shadowrun sense, but ridiculous in things that are farcical in within the setting. That just that kind of stuff doesn't
use. We'll take this one statement, and then we're going to have to close out on that. Okay. So be quick.
Just to follow up on your superhero.
Right.
You said, as a group, would you consider the one-on-one?
Yes. I also don't have the issue with lone wolf games that Chad and John do. Yeah. So, yes. All right. Well, I want to thank all of you guys for coming out here today and sitting in with us. It was great. For you guys at home, thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.
Thank you.
Later days. Should I hit record on this?
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2008, fully owned by its hosts. Our theme song was written and performed by Tim White. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com.